For those of you out in the business world, there's often an opportunity to think about a career change or a career shift. If you don't have a plan for that, you might find it to be a daunting challenge. Today, we're going to try to give you some tips and ideas on how to make that be a lot more effective. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Leadership Powered by Common Sense with your host, Doug Thorpe. Here's Doug.
Well, hello again, everyone. You're listening to Leadership Powered by Common Sense, and I am your host, Doug Thorpe. It's a pleasure to be with you again. Today, we are going to shift gears a little bit from the technical details of running businesses and building teams. We're going to talk about your personal career journey. And for many of you that are in the audience, I know this is a question that comes up from time to time, and I've got a guest today that has accumulated a lot of good thought and work. He's written a book, and he is going to share that with us. His name is Mark Hirschberg. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. It's my pleasure to be here.
When you read Mark's bio, and it will be in the show notes if you are interested looking there. Mark has quite an impressive resume of his own making. Mark, let me let you just kind of run through the high points of that with everybody.
Sure. I've done a number of different things. I'm typically a CTPO, a Chief Technology Product Officer, building companies, sometimes traditional tech startups. I've helped some Fortune 500s play startup. I've started two educational programs, one at MIT, the Career Success Accelerator, and then one at Harvard Business School used to teach finance. I've worked in multiple industries, have a lot of different patents, and of course have the book, The Career Toolkit, Essential Skills for Success That No One Taught You, along with an app, and I speak on it and then do some other nonprofit work on the side as well.
Yeah, busy guy, no doubt. Well, as he said, he's been able to tell this story to some really impressive audiences, I think, over time. And let me ask the basic question. What prompted the idea to write the book?
You wouldn't think of it as a natural book for someone who is a CTO, a CPO, but it came out of my experience early on when I graduated MIT. I started as an engineer. And I wanted to become a CTO, a chief technology officer. I quickly realized that to become the CTO, to become that senior leader, it wasn't just about being the best engineer. There were all these other skills I needed: leadership, communication, team building, negotiating, but no one ever taught them to me. So I needed to upskill myself. And doing so, I quickly realized it's not just for senior leaders. It is also for people mid-career, early career, interns. It's for founders and solopreneurs. We all need these skills, but no one's teaching them to us. So I began to train up not just myself, but my team. And as I was doing this, MIT, in doing surveys of companies, found these were the skills companies want, not just for MIT students and not just for new college grads, but in everyone. They're not being taught, so they want to put together a program. When I heard about it, I reached out. I said, I've developed content for my team. I'm happy to share it. Instead of just taking the content, they asked me to help them create some additional content and then asked me to stay and teach alongside the wonderful professors at MIT. So I've had this parallel career building tech startups, but also teaching at MIT and elsewhere for 20 years. And that's why I turned into a book, because I wanted to reach a larger audience than just the ones in my class or who come to the talks that I give.
The feedback that the schools were bringing to you from the corporations, I mean, quite frankly, I hear that a lot. I hear business leaders saying, the universities are letting me down. They're not teaching the key things I want to see in my people. Give us some more examples of what those gaps were, some of those topic items that they were hungry for.
Sure. I'll just quickly run through the 10 chapters of my book, The 10 Skills. Okay. That have been identified by research at MIT and other universities. So they come in three sections. The first, careers, creating and executing a career plan. And even companies want you to have a clear goal and plan in your career. Second is working effectively, skills like managing your manager, fitting into the corporate culture. Third is interviewing. Now, there's lots of content how to be a candidate, but many of us have to hire other people, our peers, our subordinates. There's no training on interviewing other people. The second section, leadership and management. So the essence, the fundamentals of leadership. And then we look at both the people side and the process side of management. And the third chapter, interpersonal dynamics, communication, networking, negotiations, and ethics. And those we see repeatedly in surveys. These are the skills you need, whether you're a founder or in corporate America.
Yeah, that is a very solid list. And I have to tell you, from my own experience coaching executives and business owners, it is a gap that appears that shows up in ultimately all of those 10 areas. In no particular order, I'd like to pick one or two of them and kind of do a little bit deeper dive. And one of which is the idea of the individual creating their own plan. You know, the business press of the last probably 10 years that I know of laments the idea that companies aren't cooperative in helping employees build a plan. There is no career path as we once knew it. You don't join and have a path laid before you that'll show you the next 20 years toward your gold watch. That's kind of a thing of my dad's generation, you know. And in your view, and with the feedback you've collected, what is that view of how someone builds their own career path?
Yeah, great question, because you're right. We can no longer rely on the company to map out 20, 25 years. It happens at a few. If you're at a Goldman Sachs or McKinsey, they might do it, but most of us aren't there. And so we need to take responsibility. Just as a simple analogy, imagine if the CEO came to you and she said, here is a critical project, I'm putting you in charge, you have to go achieve this goal in 2 years. What do you do? Do you say, okay, sounds good. Tell you what, I'll see you in 2 years. I'm just gonna go lock myself in my office and take it day by day, and hopefully I'll get there in time. That's wildly unacceptable. She's going to want to see a project plan, a budget, a schedule. She's going to want to have check-ins. Are you on plan? Are you off? We know you're going to go off plan. No plan ever works perfectly. That's what we do for our projects at work. But if you need to do that for a 2-year project, why aren't you doing it for that 10 or 20 year project known as your career? And that's what we need to do. So we have to take responsibility because we can't rely on the companies. Now, there's one thing that trips us up. I have an article that was very well received called, Let's Face It, This Job Isn't Going to Last Forever. Because the reality is, if I were to sit down with my boss and say, well, here's where I'm thinking I want to be in 10 years. By the way, it ain't here. Oh my God, alarm bells go off. We can't talk about the fact that I might leave the company in the future. Even though 10 years from now, yeah, I'm probably not going to be here. You're probably not going to be here. And so we need to create a culture where we can have honest conversations about where we're going to be. With every one of my team members, I ask them when either I show up to the company or as I hire them, let's talk about your career plan. And it's okay if your future isn't here, I'm going to support you. And that creates better engagement and better relationship. Very important in these times of employee turnover where we're all working on retention. Let's be honest about it. And that's going to foster that relationship.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of the phrase, and I forget exactly who says it, but it's in the context of defining leadership is treat the people so that they're prepared to leave and grow, or train them so that they're prepared to leave and go, but treat them like they won't. I think that speaks in my mind to that culture you're trying to invoke is the idea that it's good to have those healthy discussions about that ultimate end game, because let's face it, the smarter, sharper talent that we want to find is already thinking that. They've already got that somewhere, at least in the back of their mind, if not in the front of their mind, about what they're trying to accomplish. So the job you're offering today may be just a mere stepping stone for them. And that's fine. Take advantage of the opportunity, engage them for that season of life, and, you know, get the most out of it. and then open up the discussion toward the end of that and see if there's still a new opportunity that's emerged that will keep them on board.
Exactly. You yourself are probably thinking, well, where am I going to be in 5 years? It's not here. What makes you think your employees aren't having those same thoughts?
Right, right. No, I agree. And I think that's an interesting thing. You know, I'm going to ask, I have shared with the audience and those that have followed my blog for a time know that there was a chapter in my life when I was running a nonprofit that was to help job seekers. And one of the big takeaways I got from that experience was there's an element of reconnecting with a sense of personal purpose, not just a technical agenda like I'm going to go to medical school and then I'm going to go to a specialty board and I'm going to get certified, blah, blah, blah. Not so much that technical, but just that personal sense of purpose. And quite frankly, a lot of young people haven't spent that much time thinking about that. And that's not a knock on today's young people. It was true when I was young and in that stage, I wasn't particularly thinking about some big end game. And if I could interview my 21-year-old self today, I don't think I'd be anywhere close to talking about the things I've done or am doing now. So how do you address it in your thinking about developing that career plan?
Yeah, and I'm going to slice that question in two ways. You're right that I think a lot of people early on don't think about where do I want to be in 20 years? Not just what's my job title, but where do I want to be in life? And in fact, the questions that I have in the chapter on career planning, and they're also available for free on the resources page of the website, they're not just about your job. They're not just saying, well, how many hours do you want to work or what's the title you want? They're questions like, what type of lifestyle do you want? How much flexibility do you want? Do you want to be known for making an impact in your field or maybe your local community, not related to your work, but you just want to have some other type of impact? These are the questions we need to answer because we need to put a career plan that fits into our life instead of trying to create a life around the career that we're stuck with. Now, there is one area where I think that we see, especially younger folks, are a little more oriented to. We're recording this in the spring of 2022. So it's still kind of the midst of the great resignation or great reset or whatever the term du jour is. And what we're seeing is really the largest rewrite of the capital labor contract in a century. And it is no longer simply, I'm going to pay you this much money, whether it's salary, bonus, equity, benefits, here is your cash compensation in some sense. And that's why you're going to work for me. People are saying it's not just about the money. And they're saying, I want to align to the company's mission. I care about the corporate culture. There are all these other things beyond just the dollars that do matter. Now, it might not necessarily align to a long-term 20, 30-year goal because they might not have it. But in the short term, they're saying, what's your ESG policy? And how do you align to what's important to me? And that's something I think especially younger workers are very sensitive to. And employers really need to engage them, not just, well, here's the money that we're going to use to compete with the others to get you, but we're going to offer this full package that includes alignment on goals and values and culture.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think there's a lot of certain action that has manifested itself during the COVID pandemic. And you use the term mist. Same thing. I call it the fog that we've come out of. I think people are looking for that. There are, you know, social issues, there's cultural issues. I mean, in the world, not just at work, that people are wanting to align with. And, you know, popular phrase among younger people is, I want to make a difference. And I'm quick to challenge and not to try to be arbitrary or mean-spirited about it, but it's like, okay, well, talk to me about that. What does that mean? You know, where do you want to be different? Do you want to help education? Do you want to help cultures? Do you want to help neighborhoods? Do you want to help societies? Do you want to help underprivileged? Do you want to help the aged? You know, what? Put a name on that. Just to say, I want to make a difference, needs a little more work to be able to create an actionable plan.
And it's okay if you don't have this at 22. I don't think I do. I don't think most people do. There are some who are passionate about being doctors, as you noted, but something you can develop throughout your 20s. And it comes down to asking some of these questions. And this is not a one and done exercise. It's not, well, here's a question, here's my answer, done. Thinking about your answers, reflecting on them, discussing them with others, getting input from other people about their answers, their thoughts on your answers. And here's the big thing to remember. Our plan is not set in stone. We can change it at any time, and we can and will. So your plan is what you have until you come up with a better one.
I like that. And I think that is a critical point that people somehow get hung up on. And even those among us that might be classified as perfectionists, they fear that they can't make the perfect plan, so they don't plan at all. But I like your point, Mark, that when you do this plan, it needs to be some kind of evergreen effort. You know, set it before you for the new year and work toward accomplishing whatever you can. But periodically, it doesn't have to be every year, but periodically dust it off and say, all right, how am I doing? Have I discovered something new and different that's even more exciting to me? And should I be going that direction? Or did I learn something about what I thought I would like that changes my thinking, but it's okay. I'm going to still pursue it. I'll just do it in a different way or different level or whatever. So it is a process that gets adopted for lifestyle, leading a lifestyle. That's what I'm looking for, lifestyle, leading a lifestyle.
I open that chapter with a quote from my friend, Professor Jason Rosenhaus. Jason and I used to teach chess together back when we were in high school. And Jason's advice was always have a plan. Even a bad plan is better than no plan at all. And if you think about playing chess, if you just sit there and randomly move your pieces, the odds that you will magically checkmate your opponent are near zero. But the game keeps going. You can't just sit there and wait. You have time pressure. Time moves forward. So he says, look, come up with a plan, even if it's a bad plan. And then as you go through, start to say, wait a second, this isn't good. Here's a better idea and replace it. And that's how we have to think about life. And if you think about your project plans, when you go back to that hypothetical two-year plan we talked about, I guarantee what you write down on day one is not how it will unfold. You know that. And that's okay. No one's saying, oh, you didn't get it exactly right. Now, here's something you can do. Right now, what I want you to do is temporarily pause the podcast. You're going to come back, but you're going to pause the podcast. You're going to open up your calendar app. You're going to create an event, and you're going to say, think about my career. Put down half an hour or an hour and have it as a recurring event at least every 6 months. Maybe you make it every 3 months. But that's it. You put this recurring event on your phone so you can pause it right now, make that event, save it. Now come back for the rest of the podcast. But now you have a reminder every 3 or 6 months. Hey, let me just check in, because this is your life. If you can't really commit 30 minutes every 3 or 6 months, what are you doing? This is your life. You better be able to spend some time focusing on it.
Yeah, I like that idea. And if you haven't already done it as you're listening to this, take Mark at his word, hit the pause button, go put it on your calendar and rejoin us after you get that done. I think that's a great tip, Mark. That's a wonderful idea to schedule everything, because, you know, it has been said, you know, what we put on our calendar and execute on is what we actually live out. It's one thing to have an idea in the back of your head swirling around, and you might consciously or subconsciously think about it from time to time, but that's not an actionable item. It's not something that, you know, manifests itself in doable advancement of your cause there. You know, I'm going to interject a thought. I'm thinking of my colleagues in the bigger companies, some of the, you know, global brands that I've had the chance to work with. They usually always have regular transition of roles. They will ship people to other locations, other job functions, other departments, with the ultimate intent of creating more well-rounded senior leaders in the company, people that have seen the company front and center in all the different segments they might have. And myself being down here in the Houston area with all the energy things we've got going on, specifically, I'm thinking of some of the energy companies I've worked with. It is not uncommon, like the military, that people get transferred every 2 years to a new role. And it's a growth process. And you do have an opportunity as the employee to opine on which direction you want to go next. Usually there's two or three potential choices when those rotation periods come up. So if you haven't crafted a vision for where you want to go, what kind of leader you want to be in that company, you best be thinking about it, because those opportunities are going to be provided to you. You are going to be asked to transfer to a new department, a new role, and you can often line those up and match them off with a bigger picture of where you want to end up when it's all said and done.
Exactly. But you can't do that if you don't have your own plan or sense of direction.
Exactly.
And you're sitting there and you're just blown whatever way the corporate wind blows.
Right.
That's not how you want to live your career. You want to have a sense. Now, sometimes there's a lot of pressure for you to go in a direction you don't want. You might have to do that. You might say, I don't want to, and therefore I'm leaving. But if you don't have your own sense of direction, then the odds that you're going to wind up where you want to go are pretty slim.
Right, right. Well, Mark, I think on that note, we're going to take a short break. This has been a great discussion. And when we come back, we're going to keep diving into the other elements on that 10-part list you had for the book. And so, everybody, we're going to ask you to stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Business is all about solving complex problems as fast as you can create them. Become the best problem solver by leading others to greatness, too. And the first step is going to DougThorpe.com. Doug Thorpe is known globally for coaching entrepreneurs and business leaders, improving their performance and the work output of everyone surrounding them. You can find health, wealth, and happiness by learning to lead others to health, wealth, and happiness. Go to DougThorpe.com now and order Doug's books or hire him to coach your managers. That's Doug, T-H-O-R-P-E.com.
Well, everyone, we're back for the second half of this episode of Leadership Powered by Common Sense. I'm talking with Mark Hirschberg. He's the author of The Career Toolkit. And what's the subtitle of that?
Essential Skills for Success That No One Taught You.
Sorry about that. We will cut that out. Essential tools. Say that again. Let me get it right.
Your career toolkit, essential skills for success that no one taught you.
That no one taught you. I think that's the operative word here. It is interesting how often young people emerge through all their expensive schooling, and there hasn't been a lot of effort to help them go out and secure that next job, or maybe it's the first job. And so the whole experience of job searching gets to be a real challenge. I do know a lot of the better universities have programs. They do have some coaching, and a lot of them provide on-campus recruiting, where the big companies come in and interview students, and you go through that process. But you mentioned in your list of 10 chapters in the book, there's one about the interviewing, and your point was we as potential business leaders often never learn how to do a good interview, how to conduct the interview. So talk to us a little more about that angle. What have you put in the book about that?
Right. Don't just take my word for it. When you're next with your team, just ask, who here has had formal interview training from the hiring side? I've met a number of executives who have had zero despite decades of experience. And if you think about what we're doing, it's kind of like saying to your kid, okay, you just turned 16. So you're ready to drive. I know you've been in the car with me. You've seen me drive. You get what the steering wheel does. So here you go. Here are the keys. Go figure it out. Best of luck to you. You get the idea. That would be crazy. But that's what we do when we say, well, you've been in interviews before, right? Yeah, I remember you were in one with me. So here you go. Here's the keys to the interview room. Good luck. Try to find the right person. We say people are our most important resource, but we're not putting any training or effort into really finding them. And so it comes down to being more intentional in our process. And so I go through in the book, there's a little bit about how the candidates think about it, and then we focus a lot on the hiring manager side. It comes down to how to define a better job description. Most job descriptions are garbage, including the ones I used to write years ago before I started really thinking about this. Understanding what we're looking for and then constructing an interview process to elicit those particular attributes, experiences, or skills that we want in a candidate. And so I break down how to think about the job description, how to break down what those things might be, and then how to search for it throughout the process.
Yeah. And I go back to, I alluded to the career transition organization I created in 2008. One of the first things we told people when it gets to the interviewing step, if your interviewer starts with the statement, tell me something about yourself. We told our candidates, you've just gotten control of the interview. Because if an interviewer is going to start with that, they have no training in doing interviewing.
I agree with half of that. That is usually my opening question. Tell me a little something about you. But I intentionally give them that jump ball, right? I throw out the doors are wide open. You can go in any direction because I now want to see, what do you do? How do you respond to that? There are people who will ramble for 5 minutes, beginning with, well, my kindergarten had Mrs. So-and-so as my teacher. And okay, you're not very succinct or relevant. Others might just have a chronological approach. Well, since graduating college, here's what I've done. Others might direct it to, let me tell you about the things that most align to this job. That tells me they have a focus on the end goal. So there's lots of ways to answer, and how you choose to answer tells me a lot about you. Unfortunately, most people just do it as, I don't know what to say. So right. You start, right? And please, you lead this interview.
I agree with you. And I probably shouldn't have been quite as cavalier about that. But what we did tell them was just that. If it starts that way, your opportunity is to lock in and essentially begin the sales process of saying, I've studied this job requirement, I've studied the company, and based on my experiences, skills, and abilities, here's where I can fit in, here's where I can bring value. And then you can perhaps, you know, embellish with, and I got all these skills through this series of prior events and these other experiences, this other company, whatever. But yeah, you don't start with, you know, Mrs. McCall, your third grade teacher, as a guiding influence in your life. That's way later, even if it comes up at all. But no, I like that approach to it. What else do you speak to on the interviewing front in the book?
Well, what I described there is a more general principle that often people ask a question. I just think, okay, here's my question. Can you give me an answer? Whether it's a brain teaser, whether it's explain what you did at this job, or hey, how would you solve this challenge at work? They're just looking for, did you have the right answer? But in fact, there's a lot of metadata in those answers. And it goes back to, again, how do they approach those answers? I'm looking not just at, did you get a correct answer? Of course, there might be more than one, but what type of approach did you use? Again, was it a linear approach? Did you start from the end? Was it convoluted? Was it scatterbrained? I look at your sentence structure. I look at your grammar to get a sense of how you think and a sense of your overall intelligence. There's a lot of hidden information in between the words or the answers that we can look for. And so in the chapter, I break down, here are different types of questions to ask. Here's what you want to look for with each one. And here are techniques for how to look for that.
Yeah. I like that. And I agree with something you said a moment ago. You know, we all say that the people in our company is one of our most valuable resources. And by the way, just for the record, I hate the term, my people are our most valuable asset. I have a whole dissertation you can get me on if you ask me that question. I think that's a terrible, terrible mindset. But anyway, that's for another day. Still, no doubt, we spend a lot of time, energy, and money on developing our workforce. And it starts with that interviewing process and how we try to match up our own expectations for what we need at work versus the candidate that's sitting right in front of us.
Yeah. And really, it's almost like when you're going to make a dinner, if you say this needs to be a fancy, important dinner, this is a big, important dinner party, what do? Do you go out to the gas station, say, oh, let me just grab what's off the shelf? Or do you go to the high-end grocery store and say, let me get the good ingredients because I want this dinner party to be good. I want good ingredients to make a good meal for a good experience. You would invest in that. Well, this is your dinner party. This is your business. And your ingredients are those people. And if you're just grabbing what's coming from that gas station quickie mart, and it's probably not going to be the quality you want. You want to know how to seek out and find those good ingredients, find those good people who are going to make this a great experience.
I'm going to shift gears a minute. When you talk to people who need this work, they need this information from your book. Are there any basic questions that come out when people first sort of grasp the scope of what you're trying to share with them?
Well, some are, how do I best make use of this book? And this is different than other books in the space. So first of all, you don't have to read it in order. Each chapter can and does stand on its own. So if you say, you know what, networking, that's always been a problem, you can jump right to chapter 8. You can skip chapters 1-7. So really, you can go in a nonlinear order. Each chapter stands alone. Each one has a mental shift, how to look at differently. We just talked about how you can look at interviewing differently than probably you had before this particular episode. And then what are the concrete things you can do to best execute in that category? So you can use it in a nonlinear way, and you might just want to focus on one particular skill. I say this in the book, maybe just read that chapter, say, I'm going to work on this for the next month or two, then I'll go back and read another chapter. So it might be used different than how you'd use other books. Supporting that, we have the free companion app on the Android and iPhone stores. So if you download that, it has the highlights from the book. And you can use it if it's networking. You might say, okay, as I walk into that networking event next week, well, I read the book last week. I forgot most of it. Pull out the app, get those highlights, refresh what you had read. Or you can use it where it does a passive push. Each day at a time you set, it's going to push one of the notifications. And they go, oh, right, that was a good tip. Swipe. Because we know you're going to forget it after you read it. So by getting this passive daily push that just takes a few seconds, it's going to help you better retain it. So we have those tools to help you use the book. And then for others, here's the other key thing. These skills are not learned the way we learn other knowledge. When you want to learn the new accounting rules for 2022, okay, you go to a seminar, someone says, here's how the tax law has changed, write it down, remember it, done. It's just knowledge transfer. And that's very simple. That's what we've been doing since first grade. My teacher said, here's the alphabet, memorize it in this order. The skills we're talking about, leadership, communication, networking, negotiating, there's no formula for this. There's no simple rule. There's no three steps you have to remember. It's subtle and complex. So the way to learn this is more akin to how you might learn sports. I wouldn't teach you basketball by saying, here are the rules. Okay, best of luck, go play now. You need to scrimmage. You need to drill. You might even watch the tape and reflect. So when it comes to these skills, the best way to learn them is really in a peer learning group. So Learn it not just by yourself, but with other people. And as you go through the content, discuss it with other people. What did you get out of this chapter? What are your thoughts? Did you have any experiences where this really made sense to you, where you did it, it worked, it didn't? I'll share mine. And that's how we're really going to learn and get better when it comes to these skills.
I like that. Yeah, that's, you know, adult learning is a whole fascinating space, and there's so many approaches and theories and well-documented principles that we all need to embrace. And I think at the end of the day, it's a function of, if you've determined your own learning skill set or learning mode, you need to deploy that on a topic like this. You know, get the book, get the app, and do whatever you've got to do, and turn on the different features that work for your own ability to absorb it and turn it into practical use. But I like that you've created all those extra dimensions to it. That's really good. So, Mark, how should people reach out if they're looking for the book or looking to get a hold of you? What's the best way?
You can go to my website, thecareertoolkitbook.com. There you can see where to buy the book, Amazon, and other places. You can get in touch with me for speaking, or just if you have a question, you can follow me on social media, see other content I put out on the website. There's the app page that links to the Android and iPhone stores where you can download the free app we mentioned.
Nice.
And then there's the resources page where I link to other free online resources. And I have a number of free downloads, interviewing guides, for example, and the Career Toolkit Development Guide that explains how you can create this peer learning group at your organization completely free. You can download. I don't even gate it with email. So download it, take it. You don't have to give me anything. And you can upskill not just yourself, but your whole organization. And all of this is at thecareertoolkitbook.com.
I like that. Well, thank you, Mark. That's a great resource. And again, folks, we're going to have that in the show notes. Mark, thank you for being on the show. I really believe people are going to find this helpful and beneficial to their own thinking about designing that career path that they should be looking for. So thank you for this.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, so folks, we're going to bring this to a close today. I want to remind you, if you're listening to us on the audio channel, we do have a video version over on the YouTube channel by the same name, Leadership Powered by Common Sense. You can check us out and look for the other episodes over there. We are publishing several times a week, so a lot of content coming at you. Hope you're finding it helpful. By the way, please do leave a comment or start a discussion to let us know if there's new content or new direction we should be taking. And you can find out all the information about this episode and all the others on your main channels there that you're listening to. I want to thank you for sitting in and joining us. Look forward to seeing you again soon. We'll sign off and say goodbye.
You've been listening to Leadership Powered by Common Sense, hosted by Doug Thorpe. If you would like to know more about the coaching and advisory services he provides, visit DougThorpe.com.